Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, this is the Gringo Mandingo coming live from the Gloom Tomb. It is 11:12 p.m. Pacific Coast time. I'm in here just after the Nate Diaz Conor McGregor fight. Hyped up. See, I'm Rapport Stereo Podcast. This is the Raw reaction. What can I say? Yo, that was a fucking great fight. That was a brawl. I thought Conor McGregor, I gotta say, I never thought Conor McGregor wasn't great. I thought he was overrated. I didn't think he would deal with being tested as much as Diaz did. And first of all, Conor McGregor, yo, he got busy. He got busy. He weathered the storm. I honestly think that he actually won the fight on points, but it was close. I'm not Mr. UFC. I'm not Mr. MMA. You know, he clearly won the first two rounds. He had knocked down Diaz a couple of times. He fucked up. He fucked up. The ego got a hold of him, and he let him get up. He was trying to make a spectacle. It was disrespectful. And then in the third round, Diaz came on, and I thought he was going to end him in the third round. McGregor is lucky the bell rang in the third round. The fourth round, again, I mean, it was still a close round, but Diaz got the better of him. The fifth round, I think, was a draw up until Diaz slammed him, tripped him late in the fifth round, and then was on top of him. I think McGregor again got lucky that the bell rang, but fuck, it was a great fight. It was an exciting fight. It was everything that you could hope from a fight like that. I was so happy that it didn't just end up being some weak ass shit. I wanted Nate Diaz. I love that dude. You know, dummies are talking about, well, Nate Diaz was bleeding. Yo, Nate Diaz bleeds when he brushes his teeth, okay? He'll open a cut if he brushes his teeth too hard, okay? That's not a big, like, Nate Diaz is going to bleed, and he's going to bleed a lot, and he's going to bleed no matter what. He just has one of those faces. I think he likes bleeding. The more he bleeds, the tougher he gets. He never backed away. Conor McGregor, I mean, listen, you don't get any points for making a guy breathe, and you don't get any points for making a guy sort of run around and walk away the way McGregor did. So, I mean, those things are all for, you know, they don't add up to anything. So you could say, well, he Diaz was bleeding, and then other people could say, you know, McGregor was running at some points. Those aren't the things that get you points in a fight. I think Conor McGregor definitely landed more. He landed. The kicks fucked up Diaz. I don't know how he's going to bounce back. I don't know enough about UFC or martial arts or any of that shit to say how you defend kicks. I've never been kicked. Thank God. I don't want to ever be kicked. I don't want to be kicked in the leg. I don't want my foot stomped. I don't want anybody trying to roundhouse kick me in the head. I don't want anything to do with any kicking, any punching, any hitting, any hammer throws, any elbows to the face. It was a great fight. I have to say, I respect the shit out of Conor McGregor. He fought his ass off. Diaz is like on some Jake LaMotta raging bullshit. Nate Diaz is the raging bull of MMA. He just keeps coming forward. He's on some you never got me down, Ray shit. Although he did get knocked down, but I'm just saying, he's just that guy. Like, the more you hit him, the more he bleeds, the more sort of duress he's under. He just keeps coming. It was fantastic. This is my initial reaction to the fight. That fight beforehand, the Rumble Johnson versus that other dude was a joke. It was disappointing. Homeboy was so knocked out when he woke up, he thought shit was still sweet and shit was still popping. It wasn't still sweet and it wasn't still popping. That was like some Friday, like you got knocked the fuck out type of shit. You know, for those who don't follow MMA, UFC and all that, is it MMA or UFC? It's called UFC. UFC is like the brand. MMA is what they do. Mixed martial arts. UFC is like the NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. But, I mean, if you could stomach it. But that was like, when you talk about fighting, they fought. They fought. I feel like, I don't know. It's hard to say. But this is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. This is the Raw reaction to UFC 209. I'm sorry, UFC 202. I don't fact check. One of the things that I think is fantastic about Twitter. Yo, the Conor McGregor fans. Golly. They're like Boston fans or some shit. Yo. You have no stake in this dude. People were like offended that I fuck with Diaz. I'm going to fuck with Diaz the next time. The Twitter fans of Conor McGregor, my God. Yes, I was talking shit on Fighter and the Kid with my man B-Shob. Yes, I talk shit on my podcast. Yes, I tweet shit. I'm going to tweet shit next time. You guys are unbelievable with like so upset, so offended that the great Conor McGregor, yo, he's going to get his ass kicked next time. That's what's happening. It's going to probably happen next spring. Diaz is going to crack that ass. He's going to figure out how to defend those little kicks. Conor McGregor broke his foot, kicking like a little, like some Peter Pan shit on some bitch body karate shit. But the Twitter fans of Conor McGregor, sweetheart, relax. I'm gonna be home later. I left some money on the dresser. Go shopping, boo. To all you Conor McGregor fans out there that get your feelings hurt so easy, I gave him love. He won the fight. But the little tricks on Instagram and Twitter, man, oh man, oh man. All right. See, Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. You're now rocking with the actual best. Okay, the Gringo Mandingo, the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, and it do what it do. It's the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast variety show. Let's do it. Yo, Mack Weldon underwear and t-shirts are better than whatever you're wearing right now. Trust me. I'm doing this podcast in a pair of Mack Weldon underwear while wearing a soft-ass Mack Weldon t-shirt. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. You could shop online, shop on your phone, and literally check out from your computer or your phone in minutes. It's a great, easy website to navigate. I just sent my brother another batch of soft-ass Mack Weldon underwear and t-shirts. The whole thing took about 3 minutes. All their products are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor, which is very important to any man, or any man around any man, or any woman around any man. Nobody wants to be around somebody wearing a smelly t-shirt, smelly socks, or smelly underwear. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like the first pair, you can keep it. Okay, we'll refund you everything, no questions asked. That is a guarantee. Go to macweldon.com, get 20% off using the promo code Rappaport, M-A-C-K-W-E-L-D-O-N. macweldon.com, get 20% off using the promo code Rappaport now. Go to macweldon.com, save 20% off your first order now. All right, it's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. As you just heard, that was my live reaction to UFC 202. It was great. It was a great fight. Great night. Watched it with the two best podcast producers in the world, Miles Davis, Jordan Winter. It was fantastic. So the way we're going to do this today is you're now rocking with the best. My name is Michael Rappaport. Some people call me the Gringo Mandingo. I'm glad the Olympics are coming to an end. I had a great time. Salute to all of the athletes. They were all fantastic. Simone Biles and all the gymnasts, Michael Phelps, the whole group. They everybody kicked ass. Allie Reisman, other gymnast, who I believe is Jewish. If not, we're taking her in the tribe. All the track and field athletes. It just was. It was fun, but now it's over. It's got to come to an end. Ryan Lyon Lochte. I don't know how this guy's. This guy either is so dumb or he's a brilliant marketer because he didn't crack that ass in the events, but now he's the person they're talking about in the Olympics. At the end of the 2 week event, which was great, the women basketball team. They won a gold medal again, of course. It's like the 19th straight time they've won. I think it's like the 6th straight time they've won. And the men won, which is an assumption. They should win. To me, as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, there's always favorites in track and field. Like, you know, of course you expect Usain Bolt to win. He wins every single time. But he could be beat. You know, you expect Michael Phelps to win because, whatever, he's Michael Phelps. I don't know shit about swimming, but I know Michael Phelps. But the United States men's basketball team, that would be a bigger story if they lost. They won versus Serbia, which is a country that I believe only has 9 million people. We wanted Delhi. We wanted the Australians. I wanted the Australian rapper pack. Me to be going at it. We wanted Dellavedova. They played, I think, the best game. Well, Serbia played good the first time, but the American team has too much talent. It's just too good. And I have mixed feelings about it. There was one sequence during the gold medal game where Marv Albert, the great Marv Albert, who's been on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, love him. His voice has been a part of my life since, I think, like, literally my entire life, and anybody else who listens to sports. But he said, you know, there was a good sequence where the ball had moved and some good passing. And he said, him or Doug Collins said, that has not happened in the 2 weeks since they've played together. And I go, yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. You know, they win by just an overwhelming amount of talent, but at times during the tournament, it was ugly. It was sloppy. But I guess that's part of the Olympics. Anyway, shout out to the entire United States basketball team. They won. Yo, there's a dude who coaches wrestling, Mongolian wrestling coaches. I fuck with you guys, hard body karate. They protested their team losing with a bad call. And this is the type of shit that I respect. They stripped their clothes. They took their clothes off, both of them. That was their protest. My man got down to his underwear. He had on the black. He had they probably on Mack Weldon underwear. They look like actually Mack Weldon underwear. He had on the black Mack Weldon underwear. He took his shit off in the middle of the ring. Him and the other coach. The other coach had on sweatpants. He wasn't about that life. But I want to give. I can't even. I'm not even going to try to pronounce anybody's name because it was. I don't even know what these people's names are. I can't even say them. But it was one country fighting Mongolia, and there was a bad call. And the next thing you know, the coaches took their clothes off. That was their protest. I fucks with you, my man. Respect. For real. See, I am Rapport Stereo Podcast. So this is what we're going to do. So my man from The Fighter and the Kid, I'm friends with those guys on that podcast. I like those guys. They're good dudes. They have a dope podcast, The Fighter and the Kid. My man Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub, who is a now a great podcast host with my man Callen, who's totally out of his fucking tree, totally out of his mind. I actually broke the Ryan Lochte story. I did it, Brendan. You didn't do it. I fucking broke it. But then we broke it together because I hosted The Fighter and the Kid last week. And I was the first person. Check it out. Go on Twitter. Go on the internet. Go on Facebook. Look it up. I was the first person to say that I felt like Ryan Lochte was full of fucking shit. And then me and Brendan broke the shit down. But if you don't know who he is, he's an ex-UFC fighter. He fought at the highest level. His breakthrough was on the show, The Ultimate Fighter. He was on there with Kimbo Slice, the great Kimbo Slice, who passed away. So I'm going to talk to him on the phone. I'm going to get him on the phone. I'm sure he's going to be doing some kind of workout shit. Like he's like a workout freak. He's like one of these dudes who like he works out for fun. It's not a burden. He's like, oh, I'm going to go for a run for 6 miles. Like that's like hell to me. But he's just an athlete, a lifelong athlete, former football player. But he fought in the UFC, kicked ass. He gave it and got it and very experienced and a great point of view on it. I love talking to him about UFC and sports in general, but he knows MMA. So I'm going to talk to him about what he really thinks about the fights last night. And then we're going to get it popping like that. It's the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. We'll be right back.
Network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. Getting some real analysis. Call my man Brendan Schaub from The Fighter and the Kid.
What's up, man?
B Schaub, what's up, my man?
What's up, dog?
Yo, how you feeling about the fight last night? How hyped were you? Break it down for me, because I could just tell you, I was in here flipping the fuck out. Now, we talked about the expectations of this shit. In my opinion, that was one of the best fights, boxing, MMA, anything I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think it's hard for these fights of this magnitude to, like, live up to the expectations. You think about, like, Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, even though it was a shit fight, I don't know if that fight could have lived up to the hype. And this Diaz, Conor McGregor, too, not only did it live up to the hype, but it even more so, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, like I told you, I thought Conor was going to win by decision or late round stoppage, but that third round got scary, man. It got really scary. I just think Conor... You know, it shows what kind of champion he is. He has no business fighting at 170. It's just too much for him. And again, Nate Diaz isn't even a true 170er. He's really a guy who hangs around at 55. So just for Conor to get through that, man, it was such a beast. Such a beast.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I respect the shit out of him. You know, I break his balls and I talk shit. Because, you know, when you talk as much shit as Conor McGregor, you know, it provokes other people to talk shit. And I'm one of those sideline shit talkers. But
oh, for sure. Me too.
He fought like a fucking, I mean, he fought great. And he was tough. They were both tough. So who did you think won? Like, who did you think actually won? Did you think the right decision was made?
Yeah, like you can't let the dick riders of the Diaz brothers, who, you know, everyone was cheering for the Diaz, you know, for Nate Diaz, and they cheer for the Diaz brothers in general because they're always the underdog. Everyone feels like they get shafted all the time. Don't get twisted. Nate made $2 million plus on this fight. So that those days of the underdog getting shafted, it just, no matter how this fight went down, if it went to a decision, everyone automatically throws up the, oh, he got screwed. That's what happens with Diaz brothers. No, man, if you just take all your bias out and score this fight, which I try to do, you know, because I really do. I love both guys. I'm glad Diaz is doing his thing. I'm glad Connor's doing his thing. I love both guys. So I watched it again this morning. You're batshit crazy, especially with the new criteria of judging. If that first round where you get sat down twice isn't a 10-8, mm-hmm. So you have Connor the first round. Could, at the very worst case, it's 10-9, but it's probably a 10-8, easily 10-8. So you have a 10-8 first round. You have a 10-9 second round for Connor. Third round, Nate definitely wins. Now, was it 10-8? I'd have to see what kind of scoring they're doing with the judges, but a 10-9 for Nate because it wasn't that dominant. But you have 10-9 for Nate. Connor wins the fourth and loses the fifth, so then you have a 3-2 decision. I didn't think it was, and that's not even really debatable. Like, again, people crying wolf and saying, oh, this is, here we go again, Diaz getting screwed. Nah, man, you just can't pull that card every time these guys lose. You just can't.
Yeah, I agree. I think Connor won the fight. I think he, you know, he, the kicks, I don't know how they score. Like, when all those kicks, do they score those as points?
They count them as far as overall damage, control of the fight, stuff like that. But remember, and this is something else that's pretty, you know, makes the win even more impressive for Connor is in that first round, he thought he broke his foot kicking Nate Diaz's leg. Because he's not a kicker.
Right.
He's not a true, like, that's not his thing. But the blueprint to take out Nate Diaz is to kick his leg. So you can see he made changes in camp. He started doing that. But that's not his forte, man. It showed. Because, you know, he's like, damn, my shin hurts. So in the second, third round, especially the third, when he wasn't moving, I made a comment, like, you know, on Twitter that blew up. I said, damn, man, you spent six figures on camp and you're gassed after two? Yeah, he was gassed and he was getting, you know, he was taking shots to the face, but really, he said his leg, like his leg, he didn't move his leg. He's not used to kicking that much.
And do you think, like, what about this whole thing? Because I think it's retarded that they're like, well, Diaz is bleeding. And you know, the Diaz fans were like, well, Connor was walking away. First of all, I think that Nate Diaz, he bleeds when he brushes his teeth. Like, making Nate Diaz bleed is not an accomplishment. Like, he's just one of those guys. He's going to bleed, win, lose, or draw. And obviously, he was bleeding a lot.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. Like, it's... any fan that says, oh, look at the blood, they're not knowledgeable on the sport at all, because the way that works is Nate Diaz has so much more experience than Connor. It's not even funny. You know, he's been in the UFC since, what, he's 21, and his fighting style. So his face builds up. He's built up a lot of scar tissue. He's a bleeder. He's a cutter. That's what he's known for. So he builds up the scar tissue. So the skin around his eyes and forehead is very thin from all the scar tissue.
Right.
So what might not cut Connor is going to cut the shit out of Nate Diaz.
Right.
So you can't, you just can't play that card. You just can't.
Yeah, it's
stupid. You can't
do
it based off blood.
It's stupid.
Some guys bleed, some guys don't.
Right. He's going to bleed no matter what. Like, I just think, like, he probably bleeds in camp sometimes. So,
you know, it's the same thing in boxing, too. There's certain guys, they get a headbutt or, you know, a jab, they start bleeding like crazy. They'll still win the fight, but that's just their forte.
So you said this thing about the 170 and the 155, and afterwards Conor McGregor was saying that he'd fight him again. He wants to fight him again, but he'd want to do it at 155. How hard is that type of shit with the weight? Because I never understand. Like, I mean, 155 to 170, that's 15 pounds, but would that be really challenging for Nate Diaz to fight him at 170? I mean, at 155.
No, and actually Nate wanted it at 55. Nate asked for the fight at 55 in the rematch, and Connor told him, no, let's do it at 70. And Nate was like, I prefer at 55. And then after Nate beat him that first time, Nate goes, all right, let's do that 55. And Connor goes, no, what kind of champion am I? What kind of fighter am I? If you beat me at 170, and I go, okay, well, you have to fight me at 55 now to level the playing field. He goes, I want to beat you at 170 where you beat me just to show you I can do it. And then we'll do it at 55. So you see right after the fight, he goes, we're doing it again, but we're doing it on my terms, which is at 55. And then that's why Nate's like, yeah, let's do that 55. That's my natural weight class, really. So I tell you what, man, I see a lot of people talking about how, you know, Connor should go to 145 and fight for his belt against Jose Aldo. I'm not trying to see Connor Jose Aldo. That right. does nothing for me.
Right.
That gets no movement. You know what I'm saying? It's like a fat girl walking in the bar. I got no movement. You know? So I think what Connor needs to do is, it's tough, man. There's a lot of tough. I think it only gets tougher for Connor. I got to be honest. Everyone knows you can call me a Connor Dick Rider, whatever you want to say, but I look at the matchups they want to give him, and at 55 and 45, it's tough, man. It's a tough road for that guy. There's no easy fights left.
All the fights that he has coming up, you're saying that they're going to be tough fights? Like, there's no, like,
super tough.
So
yeah, there's no fight where you look at and you go, oh, he's easily the favorite. There's really not. If you look at, if they give him a top five guy at 155, it's trouble. In his best bet, again, 140, he kills himself to make 145. So to make 145 again and fight Jose Aldo, that's not going to do much, man. I know Jose wants that fight, but again, that's for the fans, it doesn't do much. Doesn't do much for Connor. You give him Frank Yeager, not really, because Jose beat Frankie. So I think he vacates the belt at 45 and looks for super fights at 55. But he hinted, he goes, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there want to fight me, blah, 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 but he hinted at something outside the cage, which makes me think that he might fight Floyd Mayweather.
Come on, man. Come on.
Just saying, man, if anyone could pull that off, it's that dude.
Yo, listen, wait, I mean, pull it off in terms of getting it done or pull it off in terms of making it a fight? Because you could say what you want to say about Floyd, blah, 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 blah. We're talking about apples and fucking oranges. This is a difference. There's no kicking. There's no wrestling. There's no elbows. This is talking about straight up boxing again. Hey, you really think that could happen?
Yeah, I do, Rap. I think if the point of Connor's career, and he has said this many times, is to make as much money as possible and then get the fuck out before it's too late, well, the only fight that would make you as much money as possible and get you out is Floyd Mayweather.
Oh,
I mean, you're going to make
goodness.
How much money? And again, granted, does he beat him? No. Let's remember, some people think Floyd Mayweather is the greatest boxer of all time. Floyd's not even in the same, Connor's not even in the same realm as him when it comes to boxing. However, you're telling me you wouldn't tune into it, Rap? You're telling me it wouldn't be one of the biggest pay-per-views of all time, if not bigger than Pacquiao Floyd?
Of course it would be. It would be, but I think it would be insulting. First of all, boxing is in such a shithole. It's in such a turmoil. Like, I can't even name, aside from Floyd and Pacquiao, I'd be hard-pressed to name five fighters right now, and I grew up always loving boxing, but it's just not the same caliber of sport. So, I mean, yes, I'd watch it. But I'd probably come over to your house and watch it.
That puts money in Connor's account.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So, it's tough because with the UFC, it's like, all right, what's a spectacle? What's a sideshow? Well, again, and I appreciate the courage and the balls it takes CM Punk to fight in September, but he's never had a fight in his life, and he's fighting on the main card of one of the biggest events in the UFC.
Yeah, I think that's
crazy. What I'm saying? So they're not opposed to these sideshows. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yo, so tell me this. During your career as a fighter, you had fights you won, fights you lost. You've had tough, tough, tough fights. How does a guy feel after going through a tough fight? Like, how does Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor feel physically this next week? Explain what that's like.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling, man, because you had this one goal this whole time, and you put all the work in, and then when you go through a battle like that, granted, I've never gone 25 minutes like they did. I've gone 15 minutes with Mirko Krokop and Gabriel Gonzaga, some of the toughest guys in the world, and Lamar Johnson, who's just this power puncher. And when you get done, it's just you're just exhausted. You don't want to do anything. Those after parties, so you don't care what they're paying. You don't want to do that bullshit, usually, especially if your legs are beat up like Connor's were, your face beat up like Nate's. I didn't want to do any of that. I didn't want to drink beer. I just want to go. I want to do nothing. I don't want to be around the fight game. I don't want to be around a lot of people asking questions.
Right.
I would just get on the earliest flight home and dip out just so I could go home and just do nothing, man. Because all you've been, you're exhausted. It's not, physically, yeah, you're exhausted. You're sore as shit. But really, emotionally, you're just drained, man. You got nothing left.
Right. All right, well, shit, man. It was a good fight, man. I would love to watch the next big fights with you because I think you, I think number one, I would love to hear the shit you have to say, and I think you would be you'd be impressed how excited and how fast I get naked during these fights. Don't ask me why I get naked, but at a certain point, I was unclothed last night during that fight. I was hyped up out of my mind. It was such a good time.
I like the passion, man. I'll always watch it with passionate people. It's just the stupid questions I can't handle.
Right. I don't want to. That's something for me too. Like I don't want to talk. Like the passion's cool,
no,
but
yeah.
I want to listen to the commentators commentate, and I want to do that, and I want to be naked doing that. Now, if I want to be naked watching two men fight in blood, that's up to me. I don't want you to judge me. Okay, but I don't want to talk.
I'm cool with it. I'm comfortable with it, dog. I might be naked next to you, and I might show you how to do a single leg takedown. I don't know, but don't be weird about it. We're both naked, watching fights, and I'm showing you moves. Don't be weird.
Right, right. It's like, just don't get weird. Be comfortable with what it is and just go with it.
I much prefer that because last night I was watching over a friend's house and this a friend of mine's boyfriend asked me, he goes, literally during the middle of a fight, now what exactly are you looking for here? Bitch, I'm not Joe Rogan. I'm not on the clock.
Right.
Let me relax, man. Enjoy my freaking cheat meal and just watch these fights.
Yeah, figure that shit out on your own, man. Yeah, all right, yo, one person that I've talked about a lot on the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, and I talked to you about it on the Fighter and the Kid, a.k.a. Rappaport and the Fighter podcast, but for my fans, I want you to talk about the late, great Kimbo Slice and what he was like as a person, because everybody obviously know his persona, and you met him on The Ultimate Fighter. Talk to me about Kimbo Slice, because I know you always had nice things to say about him, and you had a really cool perspective on him.
Yeah, Kimbo was my boy, man. So he was the guy, you know, on the Ultimate Fighter, it's the 16 toughest heavyweights in the world, not in the UFC. And Kimbo was the last guy they brought in the house. And, you know, obviously we all know Kimbo. My mom knew who Kimbo was, you know, before the Ultimate Fighter. So he was like the one superstar coming to the house. And he was just like this sheep amongst wolves, really, because we all wanted what he had. So it was a jealousy thing. We're all young, man. So no one really knew how to handle that. So already everyone already had their, you know, expectations, and we were judging a book by the cover. And good Lord, man, when I tell you this, I couldn't have been more wrong. That guy was so humble, so down to earth. He was a family man. Right away, you know, we were sparring. And we're going to jiu-jitsu, and he looked over at me. And again, he doesn't know me, man. He just looked at me and said, he goes, hey, Shab, man, I need help with this grappling shit, man. I don't know any of it. If you want to brawl, I'm down. But when it comes to this grappling, I really need help, man. And I was like, damn. And he went around to Roy Nelson, myself, some other guys who know the ground game, and he was constantly trying to learn, constantly trying to help out. And then, remember, you're in a house for 6 weeks. You have no cell phone. You have no communication in the outside world. You have no magazines, no nothing, none of that stuff. No newspapers. You got a pad and a pencil. That's all you had, like a journal and shit. So I would go to Kimbo and just have him tell me stories, man. He was my form of entertainment. He was an open book. He showed me how to win a fight. This guy has a knife. He showed me all sorts of things. He had this barbecue recipe. We used to beg him to make us barbecue, man, because he came up with this barbecue sauce. So, you know, when you're in week four and you're hating life and stuff, I would sit down with Kimbo. We'd daydream and bullshit about me and him opening up a restaurant. And I would call it the Fur, because his real name, you know, Kevin Ferguson.
Right.
But I'd call it either Kimbo's Steakhouse or Big Fur Steakhouse. And we'd talk about the menu and shit. It was like the Boom Boom Room in that movie Life. You
That's
know what I'm saying?
Dope.
So he was just like when I tell you, man, he was just so down to earth, and even afterwards, he's just a great, great dude, man. We lost a good one. It was so unexpected, man. And I don't mind talking about it now, but right when he passed away, I remember I was doing a piece for Spike, asking to do for this documentary, and I couldn't get through it, man. I just kept breaking down because it was just such a shame, man. Whenever I saw him, it was just like, I don't know. You know those guys that, you know, your boys, and you don't need to call each other every fucking day to know each other, you know, or to know that you have each other's back. He was a guy I could see once a month, once every 6 months. I'd see him in New York when I'd come out there, and it was just like old times. So we lost a good one, man. And he was a guy that changed the game. He really was. You can say whatever the hell you want about Mo. He had no ground game, Mo. He only lasted this long in the UFC. I don't care what you say. If you have a Mount Rushmore, just straight up fighting, Kevin Ferguson's on that Mount Rushmore. Damn. Because what he did for the sport, he transcended it, man. Remember, yeah. YouTube should be paying the Fergusons a royalty for the rest of their lives. That motherfucker made YouTube what it is. Remember how many people watch those backyard fights?
Yep.
Those backyard Kevin Ferguson, the dude with the gold chain, busting up people. Remember those?
Yep.
Everyone watched that shit. He was the first YouTube star. Look at YouTube now.
Yep.
So to me, he was just like, he was bigger than life, man. You would think a guy from Miami, the hardcore, grew up poor. He's this backyard brawler. Nah, man, he was doing that stuff to put his kids through school.
Right.
And he was a beast of a football player, and his dream was to go to the NFL. He was getting recruited by D1 colleges, and then a hurricane destroyed his high school. And then he didn't have the means or the network to change school, so that's when he started backyard brawling, man.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Homeless. Yeah, he was homeless. He was living out of his car, and he would shower in the ocean, or he'd randomly try and get into pools and stuff. And he's just a grinder, man.
Wow. All right, that's dope. That's dope. Because I was always a huge fan of his.
Yeah, I could talk to him all day, man. Yeah, he was one of the good guys, man.
That's dope.
And the thing that bothers me is, like, I wish, man, I always said this, I wish ESPN or Fox or someone did like a 30 for 30. I'm like, I wish you did a 30 for 30 on, because he was never marketed right.
I agree.
And I used to tell him that all the time, like, bro, I get the whole backyard gangster thing. I'm like, you're such a good dude, and he's well-read, and he's humble, and he works his ass off, and he has a family of six, and he's a family man, and he's not out partying. And he did a quote. He goes, yeah, you don't think I have money to buy a Bentley? Of course I do. But I'd rather put my kids through college.
Right.
I don't, fuck a Bentley. I'm sorry, I have six kids, and I want to make sure they have the education I never got.
Right.
Like, that was him, man. And then you watch these shows, and you're just like, what? They're showing this backyard fighting, and, you know, him playing this character. My God, someone needs to tell this dude's story, man. It was too late by the time they did.
Yeah, I agree. I was always fascinated by him, and I never met him. Like, he would tweet me and shit, and then DM me, and I was just like, "Yo, I gotta meet you. I'm a big fan." And then he passed. All right, B-Shop,
yeah,
I'm going to let you go. Like, what are you doing? Like, how many miles are you running today? Do you have your shirt on?
I just got done, son. I just got done. I had a cheat day yesterday, so I went hard in the paint this morning, real proper, like, as you would say. I went six miles from Venice to Santa Monica, and then I did sand sprints, and I did some laps in the ocean, and
fuck.
Now I'm barefoot walking in the sand, son.
Shit, man. Damn. Fuck. All right. God damn it, man. You made me feel like shit just telling me all that shit. Do you have a shirt on at least, or are you unclothed?
Nah, no shirt, man. I thrive in the hotness and the sun.
All right,
I was born for this.
Fuck it. All right, yo, B-Shop, I appreciate you come and talk to me about the fight. It was a good fucking time. It was a good fight, and I respect the shit out of both of those fighters. People get so twisted with the shit talking and all that stuff. People think like...
They're too passionate. The culture today is, it's such a hate culture. Like, you can root for a guy and not hate the other. Like, just because I pick Connor doesn't mean I hate Nate. Like, you can have an open, educated discussion and be a critical thinker. There's no need to make it mean and be a hater. We just gotta stop that bullshit, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can like the Jets and I can be cool with the Giants. We don't have to hate each other.
No,
that doesn't
it's
make
stupid.
Sense.
It's
just stupid.
It's ridiculous.
Just uneducated people. Yeah, it's very strange to me, man.
And all right, cool. Yo, enjoy the sun. thanks for coming on the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. This is a monumental moment in your life, let alone the podcast. And I'll talk to you soon, all right, Brendan?
Yes, sir. Talk soon, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, later, man.
Later.
All right, you wanted it. You got it. Football is your passion. You know all the players and the teams, the strengths, the weaknesses. Now put your knowledge to the test and play for a shot at $1 million. Top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just a part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doing out this week. This week, it's a one-week contest. $5 million in 1 week. DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. I'm about that fantasy life. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. Yo, you want to renew old rivalries? You want to kick your boss's ass? You want to kick your friend's ass, your family's ass in a private league to prove you're the superior GM? You can do it at DraftKings or join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, fantasy players from all across the country. I love DraftKings. I love it. I love it. I love fantasy football, and I love weekly fantasy football. Go to DraftKings.com. Now, choose your players, and you could seriously cash in 1 week. That's it. You could seriously make money in 1 week. Use the code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. You can play against me. I'll be on there every week. You want the Mandingo? I got you. Play for free with your first deposit. The code is Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, to play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in 1 week. It's a one-week contest. You could possibly win $5 million. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility and restrictions may apply. See the website for details. Listen, the DraftKings thing is real. I had a guy on the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, my man Corey Albertson. This is what he does for a living. Okay, he has a complete knowledge of fantasy football. You can win real money with fantasy football. I personally, I do it for the love and the pain, okay? The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. But when I play at DraftKings, I win a little money. I lose a little money. Do it responsibly, but have a good time. And yes, I'm going to be breaking down the details, how you can play against me. All you people out there, you see me mock drafting. Right? Everybody wants to talk shit. I post my mock drafts. This is good. This isn't good. You don't know what you're talking about, Rappaport. The Gringo Mandingo sucks at fantasy. Really? The Gringo Mandingo sucks at fantasy football? Well, now you got a chance to play me. Okay? You can play me weekly. You beat me? Come on back for more. I beat you? Come take this ass kicking again. I got a lot of mo. A lot of mo. I'm really, really, really hyped about this fantasy football season. I've been mocking. I mock out with my cock out. Sorry. Excuse my French, but I do. I love it. I'm all into it. I'm focused. You know, I'm going to be in about four leagues this year. Of course, my heart and soul, my guts, and my innards are the Stern League. We're having our draft coming up soon. A lot of controversy about the draft, where it's going to be held. Now it can't be held in person. A lot of controversy, and it's real. I'm preparing. I'm going to be drafting in the Stern League by myself. The league had a vote, okay? It was 5-4 against me. They said, you cannot have your son and your 14-year-old guru do the draft for you anymore. Okay, the people that voted against me are Gary Delabonte, a.k.a. Fafa Fui, a.k.a. Gaga Gorilla. He voted against me. Jason Kaplan, commissioner of the Howard Stern Fantasy Football League. Lisa Ann, former porn star, known for doing the damn thing in a Sarah Palin outfit. J.D. Harmeyer, that stuttering, mumbling fuck. And of course, the face of fantasy football, the ringleader to vote against me, the person who went out of his way to rally against me. So I cannot have a 14-year-old and his 14-year-old friend who have been part of my fantasy life for two seasons. He stripped us of our love. It's a bonding experience. My son and his friend, we look forward to it. It was a tradition. Matthew Berry. Matthew Berry, the face of fantasy football. He is the person who is the ringleader. The people that voted for me to vote to be able to have whoever I want at the draft are Ben Bardo, John Hine. Hit him with the fucking Hine. Hit him with the Hine. Ben Bardo is actually the winner of the Howard Stern Fantasy Football League last season. It's not going to happen again. My man Will Murray did the right thing. We've went at it, but I like Will. He's a good dude. When we go at it, it's all for fun, for games. He was going to vote against me. Then I said, Will, have a heart. You have kids. How would you like your little bonding experience with your kids to be stripped away? And he was like, you know what? You're right. He did the right thing. And of course, I tried to vote for myself. All right, it was 5-4. There's 10 people in the league. Scott Salem, the engineer of the fucking Stern League, he went MIA. He would have voted for me. It would have been a 5-5 tie and whatever. I will not give up without a fight, but I am prepared to draft alone. But just know the ringleader to strip my son and his friend away from what is now a family tradition, a 2-year family tradition, has been stabbed right in the heart and cut downward. Matthew Berry, the face of fantasy football. Why is he scared of me? Why are you scared of me? I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't even speak properly half the time. I don't understand. But I'm prepared to do it on my own and win on my own. And I am all in this mock drafting. I mock, mock, mock. Yo, a lot of people were asking me, it was a lot of people. I was fortunate to be asked by the WWE to do a voiceover intro to the SummerSlam event that took place in Brooklyn, New York. And of course I did it. Who doesn't love wrestling at one point in their life? I grew up fucking with Jimmy Snuka, Tony Atlas and them. And then my kids went through a heavy wrestling phase. Jesus Christ. Yo, they went through a heavy, heavy wrestling phase, and I rocked with them. We went to all of these events, all of these wrestling events, and it got a little much. But I think it's a great form. It's like the circus, like Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus. So I did this the opening for the event that's taking place in BK, Brooklyn. So yes, if you happen to hear that, that is me, Michael Rapport, the Gringo Mandingo, rocking live for the intro for the first ever SummerSlam in Brooklyn, New York. That's a big fucking deal. At the Barclays, who would have ever thought they would have had an arena in Brooklyn, New York? It's really out there. It's dope. And I was happy to be a part of it. I am a fan of WWE. It's not like I watch it anymore, but I check in. I know Brock Lesnar's back in the game after he got kicked out of the UFC. He ain't never UFC-ing again. I think what he did with the steroids, he kicked that dude Mark Hunt's ass. And you just shouldn't be able to fight like that. It's just not fair. But that was my voice. Yo, we're doing it again. That live shit. Okay, the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast World Tour continues. Two cities on the World Tour will be conquered. Friday night, October 14th in Las Vegas, Nevada. in vinyl at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And then Sunday night, October 16th, at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. Two more cities in the worldwide I Am Rappaport stereo podcast summer going into the fall tour. Tickets are available at www.iamrappaporttour.com. www.iamrappaporttour.com. Friday night in Vegas. Yo, a Friday night in Vegas is shit. Anything could happen. I don't think G Monetti has even ever been in Vegas. I got to check that. Sunday night, October 16th in Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona is pretty much like Vegas. Both of those cities are wild for the night, and I cannot wait. So that's coming up. The 14th and the 16th, two more cities. Miles, cue the sick fuck of the week music. This award is earned, not given. It's called the sick fuck of the week. This guy is really sick. Lock him up.
How could you do it?
Don't let him out.
Damn. Who fucked the dog?
You what?
Who fucked the dog? Why would he fuck the dog? Why would you fuck your girlfriend's dog?
What sick fuck?
The sick fuck of the week. It's earned.
Earned.
Not given. You did.
What?
No.
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 All right. It's another edition of the sick fuck of the week. For the new listeners of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, Sick Fuck of the Week is an award that is earned. It's never given. As I've said in the past, Sick Fuck of the Week is not someone who necessarily does something bad. It's how they do it. Okay? It's a certain, how do the French say, je ne sais quoi, that someone has to have to earn the sick fuck of the week, and we got one. Baylor, yo, they should shut down the whole sports program at Baylor, because it's just like every single week some wild shit is going on with Baylor football players. I don't know what the deal is out there, but these dudes are wild for the night. These dudes are buck wild for real. A Baylor football player was caught on video beating the shit out of his dog with a belt. Now, there's some kid named Ishmael Zamora, Z-A-M-O-R-A, a video service of him, I mean, smacking the dog with a belt and kicks it seven times. I don't understand what that has something to do with you. That's not the dog. You know, he had a. There's no excuse. You don't hit anything that's defenseless, whether it's a person, an animal, or any of that. And I don't need to explain why you've earned the Sick Fuck of the Week award, Mr. Zamora. But you, my friend, are the sole winner of this week's Sick Fuck of the Week. Disgusting, terrible. Get rid of the dog. You don't need the dog. You're a college football player. Don't you got books to read? Science classes to go to? That place, man, I don't know what goes on out there. They got all kinds of sexual assaults and craziness going on over there. And now you're beating dogs. You sick fuck you. Doc Gooden. Yo, we're not the only ones who called it, but G Monetti, G Moody, last name rhymes with duty. 2015 podcast co-host of the year, who will be on the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast this edition, this episode. He was talking about Doc Gooden and concern, and now Doc is nobody knows where he is. He's out there, Mets pitcher. They had that 30 for 30 on Doc and Daryl Strawberry. Doc and Daryl, appropriately called. Thank God Daryl Strawberry has you know, pulled it together. But Doc Gooden doesn't look good, and he's out there. He's out there. I don't know if they found him by the time this I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is put out there, but I hope they're able to get him and get him help, because he's that's what you call a drug addict, and I'm saying that with compassion. But he's got a problem. He is addicted to drugs. Nobody wants to do that to themselves. Yo, there was an article that bugged me out. I mean, I've read a few things about this. It was like a week or so ago. I'm still not sure how it happened, but at JFK Airport in New York, which obviously is one of the bigger, more important airports in the world. I say important, but you know, it's big. There's a lot of shit going on at JFK. There was a false alarm. People thought it was a gunshot went off. I had heard it was a gunshot from watching the Olympics. There's been many, many reports, but somehow or another, there was a false alarm during the evening of gunshots at the airport in terminals 1 through 8, terminals that I've been through many, 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 many times. It's a packed ass airport if you've never been there. And you got TSA workers who, God bless them, God bless those people who work the TSA. They're hardworking people. But you could feel the fact that they're undertrained and a lot of the stuff that they're doing is off the cuff. There's been people that work TSA that I know, they don't know half. They don't know any more than me. Motherfuckers I went to high school with. Yo, what's up, Mike? What's up? Yo, they're at the TSA. Yo, I just started working here. You just started working here. You're supposed to be the last line of defense to protect the planes and the... It's crazy. But now, one of the workers who was at this, stampede and just mayhem that erupted during a false alarm, you know, he was talking about how we don't know what we're doing. We're not prepared in case something happens. Obviously, you know, when there's a military presence, they know what they're doing. But there's just a few of them. Most of the people that work in the airport are people who have a job and they're hardworking people. But if something terrible takes place, I don't think they're trained properly about it. And it scared the shit out of me, because you hear about all these incidents in airports around the world. You know, there's people in wheelchairs, there's handicapped people, there's kids all over the place. I don't know how to fix it. I have no idea how to fix it. I know that Donald Trump has no fucking idea how to fix it. Yeah, you're going to, you're starting with the, I'm not starting with the Trump. Just saying. Okay, I said it once, I said it before. I go to Starbucks all the time. I'm a patron of Starbucks all the time, pretty much once a day. Okay, I know the lingo. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I know where to wait in line, get my cup, blah, 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 blah. But if someone said to me, yo, Mike, you want to run this Starbucks? We voted you in to run this Starbucks because we think you're the most qualified candidate to run this Starbucks. It would never happen. You know why? Because I don't know how to run a Starbucks. Okay? Same thing with Trump. What has he done to even be considered a president? All right, but that's not the point. The point is that collectively there needs to be some sort of plan intact. God forbid if there's any incidents at any airports in the United States and across the world. But I'm just talking about the United States, because these people, a lot of them are kids, 22, 23, 24-year-old kids. You know what I think a lot of them are going to do, and rightfully so, if there's ever an incident? They're going to run their asses off as well because they're not trained. You need military people in there at the TSA. Security, real trained security people, but I'm sure that costs tons of money. And I just wanted to say something about that because it freaks me out, and this definitely freaked me out. And they don't even know what the false alarm was about. They're saying that it was what I heard was that during one of the Olympic events, you know, the starter pistol went off. Somehow or another, people thought that was a real gun, and then people went freaking crazy at the at JFK. So that's that. I don't know. You know, when I was talking about the Olympics earlier, one thing that I forgot about, I want to give a shout out, okay? Now, I'm not going to fuck his name up, okay? But there was a Olympic athlete, a French Olympic athlete named Johan Deniz. I don't know how to say his name. I believe I got the first part right. Johan Deniz. I didn't see this live. I read about it later. He's a walker, okay? Some people are like, walking's an Olympic sport. Yeah, motherfucker, you see how they do it. They're flying. They got that ill walk style. It's a whole technique or whatever. This guy was in a 50-kilometer race, walking race, all right? And, you know, some people called him a hero. Some people were trying to shit on him, literally. In my mind, this dude is an Olympic athlete. He's a hero. And the fact that he didn't quit, I give him respect. I have ulcerative colitis. I know about stomach issues. I know about gastro issues, for real. Okay, so this dude was in a 50-kilometer race, which, why don't they just say miles? How long is 50 kilometers? I don't even know. But this dude was winning the race, and something happened. You know, when you're in that kind of heat and your body's under that kind of duress, apparently this Olympic athlete, this Olympic hero, he shat himself. All right, I've been down that road. Okay, so I want to give this guy respect. He kept going. They gave him sponges. He cleaned himself off. He did the best he could. He didn't quit. All right. He came to one point. He complained about stomach pains. But he kept going. And this fucking guy won the race. All right. And when I say won the race, I mean he finished. Okay. He didn't win a medal. But that don't mean he didn't win. He didn't quit. All right, winning sometimes isn't everything, especially if you shit your pants. Okay, like I said, I don't want to go into too many details, but I've been down that road. Shit happens, so this dude should be treated with respect. Shouldn't be made fun of. All right, you never know when it could happen to you. Okay, Johan Dinez. I don't know. It's some kind of French fancy name. I don't speak French. But I respect to him and again to all the other athletes. And yo, my man from Mongolia, I'm not sure if you speak English. I don't care if you do or you don't. But the wrestling coach who stripped down to his underwear, I fucks with you, my man. I like you. I like your style. I like your whole program. I know what you were saying. Fuck that. Two of the consummate stick men who were in the press over the weekend. My man Leo DiCaprio and his new side piece, his new chick, some model chick, were involved in a little fender bender over the weekend. And just a little bump. But the more disturbing stick man who was in the news, and I think this is where it's going to end up. Unfortunately, the great Prince, who we've deemed a consummate stick man, consummate cocksman. The more and more of these rumors that come out, I mean, obviously rumors aren't true, but I feel like, unfortunately, Prince, you know, there was drugs involved in his death. It wasn't just out of the blue. I don't know the bottom line of it, but these drugs, fentanyl and opiates, and I don't know, they're more powerful than heroin. They were found in his crib, in his house, Paisley Park. They were like counterfeit drugs. I don't know. It's just sad. No one would have thought that Prince was on drugs. I really think that. I hope. Maybe it's just me hoping. You know, these people that you love and respect so much, and they die so sudden and tragically, you want to hope that's a mistake. Obviously, no one wants to die of a drug overdose, even addicts. But this dude had a problem with these pills, and it wasn't dealt with. And, you know, you get people around you and they don't know how to deal with it and they want to be a part of the clique. I don't know. What the fuck do I know? But if you ever see me wiling out on pills, slurring and all that shit on the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, please come and get my ass, okay? please come and save me, because that's not how I want to go out. And I don't think that anybody does. And wrapping your head around death is always hard. But I think drugs, unfortunately, were involved with Prince's passing. All right, so I'm going to call G. Monetti, G. Moody. Last name rhymes with duty. And then I'm going to get my man Dean Collins for the Truey segment of the week, the Truey app. And then, you know, we're going to let the chips fall where they fall. I'll be right back. All right, the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast is proudly sponsored by Casper Mattress. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Time Magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. Free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. You can try Casper Mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. It is made in America. I sleep on a Casper mattress with my lady every single night. Babe, do you like sleeping on a Casper mattress?
I love it. So comfortable.
Do we sleep like big old babies?
All day, every day.
Sheets?
Oh, the sheets are amazing.
The sheets are amazing. The pillows are amazing. They're even coming out with dog beds. All right? Wheezy, my dog Wheezy, will be sleeping on a Casper dog bed. That's coming soon. Okay? Get $50 off towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com. www.casper.com/Rappaport. You could save $50 today. Use the promo code. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Casper.com today. All right, it's the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. The 2015 podcast co-host of the year, G. Monetti, a.k.a. G. Moody, is in New York City. I am still in Los Angeles. And as promised, I told you I was going to get him on the episode.
The person you were trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call.
All right, that didn't go as smoothly as planned. But I'm going to be calling back the 2015 podcast co-host of the year right now. On take two.
Hello.
Oh, hey, this is the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. How are you?
Oh, man, damn. You got to give me a text. You know, like, let me know. I just got in.
Okay, I feel like all the success of you being the 2015 podcast co-host of the year is kind of sort of going to your fucking head, okay? You know, we were out on tour. There's, like, groupies. There's all sorts of people. Everybody's like, oh, there's G. Monetti. You're signing autographs. You're doing all this sort of thing. Is the fame finally getting to your head, Mr. Moody?
I think so.
You do think so?
Yeah.
It's getting the best of you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Forgive me if I lapse sometimes, but I'm back.
Okay. What's the heat like in New York City right now, Monetti? Paint a picture of what August in New York City is like in 2016.
It's been horrible. I walk around and it's just sweating. I mean, I can't even walk down the stairs. I can't do shit. I'm just sweating and sweating. We have relief coming tomorrow. Humidity lowers. But other than that, it's been terrible, man.
Damn. That sucks, man.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That sucks. Now, I mentioned earlier in this podcast that the world tour will continue in Las Vegas and in Phoenix in October. Have you ever been to Vegas? Because I'm not sure if you've ever been to Vegas.
Never been to Vegas, bro.
Holy shit. All right. It's no secret that Gerald Moody likes to sip on a little rum every now and then. Well, you're in for a real treat. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to Vegas. I'm doing the show, and I'm going in my room and hanging by the pool. Vegas is a shithole. It's the devil's shit box. Okay, it's the devil's shit bag. You've never been there, so you're going to be like you're going to have the wide-eyed amazement of taking it all in. But you'll soon see what kind of a doormat it really is. But the world tour will continue. So I wasn't sure if you had been to Vegas or not, but I mentioned earlier that you had never been to Vegas. So I'm actually looking forward to you being in Vegas just to see what it is.
Yeah, I want to see what it's all about.
So I wanted to throw something at you since you've been a real sort of you've been sort of the flag bearer of the no good judge in general, and you support the good judges and point out the no good judges. You've brought it into the mainstream vernacular. A convicted sex offender in Nebraska. A convicted sex offender in Nebraska has won custody of his two teenage stepdaughters.
Mm.
The state's highest court refused the father's attempts to get the girls out of the perv's house. The real father. So now, a convicted stepfather has two daughters, 17 and 15, that are going to be remaining in the custody of a sex offender. Explain why this is a no good, shit stained judge.
What law? What case law is he following? I mean, this is what we mean. These guys are maybe the judges have mental illnesses too. They need to be checked out, because you have this guy here with stepdaughters, and he's a convicted sex offender, and the judge sees nothing wrong with leaving that man in the house with them. He should be disbarred, and there should be a higher authority that will see his decision and say, and throw it out, and get a real judge with common sense, and deal the law like it's supposed to. That's common. You don't need a grown up judge to deal with that. You can have a 15-year-old in there,
right,
and say, listen, this is ridiculous.
Does it make any
Put
sense?
Put him in jail.
Right. The 15-year-old will go, no, this doesn't make any fucking sense.
No good judges, man. They're all around, and they're railroading guys, and they need to be a commission to deal with them.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I wanted to point this out. You know, if you're a man, if you're a person of our age, whether you were a big fan or a little fan, or you were just sort of aware of her, Bette Midler is an icon.
Yes.
The actress, comedian, and musician. She's an icon. She's been a part of my life. Seeing her perform, she was in the film The Rose, always on Johnny Carson, always part of, Beaches, dope movies, just a personality, unique, multi-talented, and I've always looked at her as a champion for the gay and lesbian community, before the gay and lesbian community even had the term the gay and lesbian community, the LGBT and all the other stuff, which is very appropriate. But this is a perfect example of the politically correct police that should eat a dick. Bette Midler, who probably knows Bruce Jenner since 1975 when he was Bruce Jenner and he was about that Wheaties life. She sent a tweet saying, now that I Am Kate has been canceled, will she be going back to being Bruce?
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And then she said, will Chris take him back? Do I smell a re-wedding? And the political correct police went crazy on Bette Midler to the point where she had to apologize. And I get it. The political correct police, they're a force. But this is that bullshit. This woman has done more to support and champion just by her being, her consciousness, her just her whole aura in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. And now the political correct police want to come after Bette Midler on some, she doesn't support gay and lesbian community and this, that, and the other. And she had to issue and apologize. Fuck that shit, Bette Midler.
Yeah. You see, when you apologize, you cave in. The political correct police are biased, because when people shit on black people, they ain't nowhere around. They don't stick up for us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Bette Midler, You're an icon in Hollywood. You've been doing your thing.
And you sorry to interrupt you. She's an icon in the gay and lesbian community. Like, right. She's been talking that shit, promoting that shit, supporting that shit from day one for 40-something years. And for them to turn on her and shame her into apologizing because of some tweet. She's not talking about the gay and lesbian community. She's talking about Bruce, a.k.a. Caitlyn Jenner, as someone who she's the comment... In my opinion, was meant to say, this is a person that's doing things for publicity. This is a person that's doing things, you know, that will do anything, you know, to sort of stay in the limelight. It had nothing to do with any insult of the gay and lesbian community or whether or not it's transsexual, whatever. Correct?
Yeah, that's correct, man. See, don't, Bette Miller, you did your thing. You've always been supportive of LGBT. Don't cave in. You made a joke. Honk, honk. We were comedians. Come on.
Yeah. So I if you want to come and have your say with us, yo, we'll have you on the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, all right? We would love to have you. We want you to say what you want to say and don't back away from any of that bullshit.
Absolutely.
Monetti, what else is popping, man? What else you got for me, man? I've been rocking solo here. We keep it short and sweet. Did you know that White Lives Matter has been trending
white
all
lives
day on
matter?
Twitter?
There's such a thing?
Yo. Yeah. It's crazy, but it's true. White Lives Matter has been trending on there all day.
Damn, so I've been missing the white kid getting gunned down, and what's going on where in the white community where things are going awry?
I don't know. And again, we'll explain this because it deserves explaining. Every single body's life matters. But as Gerald Moody, 2015 podcast co-host of the year, eloquently said it, the reason why Black Lives Matter is a movement that's important and that needs to be acknowledged and recognized is because sometimes Black lives are treated like they don't matter. It doesn't mean that give everybody's life matters, of course.
Everyone, but the people who you see getting killed all over the country and the perpetrators go free are the black people. So black people are making an affirmation like, yo, this is bullshit. Our lives do matter. That's what it's about. It's not the cops. Of course the cops matter. I like the cops. Whenever I got into some beef with a chick, I called the cops.
Right.
those are the first people I call.
Right.
So I lean on the cops. I need the cops. We all need them.
Yes.
So the affirmation is like, yo, this is happening for 400 years now. Yo, we got to make an affirmation. It's terrible, but everyone's lives matter.
All right, Mr. Moody. You got anything else for me?
The Olympics with the basketball. Don't be patting yourself on the back. You beat a Serbian team by 50. This is nothing. This is no big deal. This is nothing. You ran through the tournament. This is nothing. You should just... go away and let D-League players, like you said, play in the Olympics because this is nothing. This is an embarrassment.
Right.
Right? It's like a slaughter. It's like we're playing against five-year-old kids and we're blowing them out. We're dunking on them. So what?
Right. Big deal.
What's up? It's competition. And now they're talking about, the gold medals are better than the championships.
Yeah.
Only the cats who never won are saying that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I didn't hear Klay Thompson say, yo, I'm going to give my ring back.
Right.
Don't bullshit yourself.
Right. Don't bullshit yourself.
Word.
All right, with that being said, Mr. Monetti, I'm going to shut it down. I'm about to get my man Dean Collins for the Truey segment of the week.
Oh, young shooter.
Yes. He actually told me that he prefers to be called just Shooter.
Well, he think he what? Well, how old is this motherfucker? 26?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be called the young shooter.
We're gonna call you what we want to call you.
Yeah, we're going to call you what we want to call you. Okay? We want to call you the young shooter. We'll call you the shooter. You don't just get to be called shooter.
You don't dictate or determine what the elders call you, Mr. Collins.
All right, Monetti, listen. We'll be back later in the week with more fire. It's the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Stand by for the shooter coming up right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, rapper.
Hey, Dean. How you doing?
I'm good, dude. Are we live?
Yeah, we're live on the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Huh?
Let's do it, brother. Let me just step out my house. You know, there's like some people over here.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
What's going on over there?
Oh, no, nothing. Don't worry about it. I just wanted to step out, give you my, undivided attention. Don't worry about what's happening over here. I'm not having a party or anything.
I feel like you're being sarcastic, you fuck.
No. I was just saying, you know, it's just me and a couple friends and Logan and my sister and her group of friends and then some of their friends. And but what's up with you, dude?
Okay. All right. Well, I just was on the phone with G Monetti, G Moody, and I know you told me.
Oh, man.
Let me fucking finish, man. Please.
Oh, God. Here we go. Okay, go. I'm just going to zip my mouth for like 5 minutes. Go ahead.
I told him that you told me off air that you wanted to be called shooter and not the young shooter.
No, I never said that. Why would you say that?
You told me I'd rather be called shooter as opposed to the young shooter. And Monetti sent a message to you. You get called what we call you, motherfucker.
No. That's fine. I'll take that message because I agree with him. But the reason I don't like just shooter is it reminds me of Happy Gilmore, you know, Shooter McGavin. I'd rather do young shooter so I stand out from the crowd.
Makes sense. All right, now it's time for the Truey segment of the week. Truey is an app you can find on your iPhone. I love this app. Truey. It poses a question. It takes a poll. And you see how you fare when thousands and thousands of people chime in on the Truey app. For those of you who have no idea who the fuck Dean Collins is, he's an actor, director, sort of a pioneer.
Are you talking to me or are you talking?
I'm talking to the fans. I'm introing you.
Okay,
Dean Collins and I met on the now defunct TV show, The War at Home. Him and his friend, Logan Lerman, we've remained friends even though they defunct the show. That's their loss.
No, I was just saying, fuck them, you know?
Yeah, fuck
them.
Their loss. All right, anyway, so the Truey app, it poses questions, and I like to hear what Dean Collins has to say. Here we go, Dean Collins.
Oh, my God, yeah. Wait, I just want to say, just to start off, I want to give a big shout-out, if that's possible, in terms of Truey. Like, I use Truey all the time, and, like, my friends Danny Azad, Avi Adu, Karosh, Banush. I mean, we're the homies, and we just, all we do is we listen to the podcast, we pose questions on Truey, and I just wanted to say that first. I'm just a big fan.
Okay, cool. Let me get to the segment, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Here's the first question. I don't like mayonnaise.
No, I like mayonnaise.
Okay. I like mayonnaise, too. 36% of the people...
It needs to be mixed with yellow mustard, and I prefer a little extra mustard than mayo to balance it out. But I'm a fan. I don't have anything against it.
I agree. And 64% of the people agree with you. 36% of the people disagree.
Cool. All right.
Placing your phone on the table at a restaurant is rude.
Maybe, but it doesn't stop me from doing it. Am I right?
Yes, shooter. Yes, shooter. 70% of the people.
How about you, bro?
I agree. You know me and my phone. It's a problem. I'm on that shit all day, every day. When I'm working, eating, shitting, sleeping. I don't drive and text. I don't support that. But 30% of the people. I'm sorry?
No, I was saying sometimes it happens. We've both been there, you know.
You make me nervous driving because you drive and text. But I think placing your phone on a table at a restaurant is, I don't think it's, in this day and age, I don't agree. I'm with you. 70% of the people agree with me. What do you think of this?
Thank you. We're two for two.
Yeah. This is important. I'm not giving my woman the password to my phone. Now, I know you're single, currently single, ready to mingle. But in a relationship, would you give your lady the password to your phone?
No.
I like it.
It depends on the girl.
You answered that quickly. Like, no, stand by your answer, man. You answered that quickly.
Yeah, I say, fuck no. Let me have a little bit of privacy.
48% of the people agree. 52% of the people disagree.
I think it goes both ways. Don't give me the password to your phone either. You want to, you know, but you know, that shouldn't even be an issue. I think you're getting into some, like, jealous territory. I say this. Why the fuck is there the password? I don't want to know it, but why is the password on? Well, I don't have a password.
I hear you. I agree.
What's up with this password shit? You know, I'm like, I'm hanging out with Logan. I'm hanging out with my friends. And I'm like, oh, let me just, I got to play a game really quick. Well, what's the password? And they're like, let me do it. You can't have the password. I don't understand it. Like,
and
I'm not,
those are your guy
anyway.
Friends. Those are dudes.
Yeah, I know. It's like, dude, what do you have on here, man?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, we're not in a relationship, sweetheart.
Yeah, it's all good, dude. Chill.
We're not going steady. All right. Eating at a restaurant alone is sad.
Absolutely not. Then I am just the worst person ever. I'm the baddest person ever because I only like to go to restaurants by myself. I like to check in and check out on my own time. I don't like to have a fucking conversation about thinking about the check while I'm in some, you know, boring conversation with a friend. I go in, I do my thing, and I leave.
I agree.
I don't need to have, you know, it's like, well, I got to entertain while I'm eating my fucking food here. Don't talk to me when I'm by myself. Don't come over to me and say, hey, what's up? Or there's nothing worse when servers start want to have like a whole full-on conversation with you when I'm stuffing my fucking face. Leave me alone.
33% of the people agree. 67% of the people disagree. And that's what's great about the Truey segment of the week. Now, Dean, you shared a story with me off mic, off radio, off podcast. Would you care to share that with the people? You had a couple of dates this week. I don't want to blow you up, but how did that go?
I'm happy to talk about this one. It's always tricky naming names, but I'm like, I won't say the girl's name.
No, we don't have to name names or countries.
That's fine. So I'll just give you the lowdown, like the short, you know, of it all. But basically, I've been talking to this girl from Norway for 2 years now, okay? Like, when I broke my foot in my GoPro accident, I was in bed, and I was just talking to her. I saw a picture. She was following me, liking my shit, one of those Instagram long-distance relationships. And I commented on her photo, and I said, you're so gorgeous. If you're ever in L.A., hit me up.
Yes.
I realized she was in Korea, also studying out there. And so anyway, we've been talking, you know, sending each other pictures back and forth.
Did you send any nudes?
Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's all good. And so one night I was like, you know, I don't even know if I was drunk or whatever I was, but I hit her up and I said, hey, you know, you should really come out to L.A. You could stay with me and, like, well, I'll show you a good time. And she said, all right, great. And a couple weeks later, she called me and she hit me up and she said, I booked my flight to Los Angeles. Like, it wasn't that expensive. I'm coming out. And I have a few friends and I'm going to stay out in some hostel. And I was like, damn, all right. Anyway, she comes out. She actually flies out. I'm a little nervous at this point, a little excited, nervous. But, you know, I don't want to get catfished in this day and age. You never know. You know, I don't know what I'm working with here. And so anyway, I had a little shindig at my place. She comes over. We're vibing. It's great. She ends up leaving. She goes back to her hostel, this and that. And then we hang out another night. And it was just me and her, and I took her out to a few bars, and we had a great time. I won't, I don't kiss and tell. So,
with Dean,
I'll
that's the fucking
that.
Story. That's the whole story. That's not what you told me off mic. Now you just wasted people, like, three of people's minutes of time nowhere. There was a gist of the story that you were getting to. Do you not want to share that with the podcast community?
Okay. I'll share it. So I forgot about what you were talking about, honestly. But
how could you forget about it?
We're at one of the bars.
Because I'm concerned about it.
Okay. We're at one of the bars. And, you know, we haven't hooked up yet at this point. But I'm taking her out. We're both, you know, pretty drunk at this point. And I make the move. And we start hooking up a little bit. And then she turns to me at the bar. And she goes, so, do you want to fuck me or what?
Whoa!
Yeah. And
she said that to you in the bar?
She said it to me in the... Yeah, she said
no,
it to
I
me
would
in
pay money to see some girl Say that to the shooter.
Say that to me, right? My reaction, right?
What did the shooter say? What was your comeback to that?
I was on one. I had some of that liquid courage. I was feeling good. And, let me just tell you this right before this happens, though. I'm at the bar. True story. This has to do with the I Am Rapport podcast. I'm at the bar with her, and I'm buying her drink. And some girl, this cute girl, comes over to me, and she goes, "Hey, are you Dean Collins?" And I was like, "Hey, what's up? Like, yeah, do I know you? You know, I was thinking we went to school together, this or that." She's like, "No, but I watch all the videos with you and Michael Rapport, and I listen to the podcast." And she said, she goes, "Let's grab a drink right now," but or else she was like, she goes, "You want to grab a drink with me, or is your girlfriend going to be pissed off?"
Ooh.
And I was like, "Oh, shit." And so I didn't want to ditch, you know, the Norway chick, and we have this thing going. So I was just like, "Hey, just, you know, DM me on Instagram. Let's meet up, blah, blah, blah. Talk to you later." So I left, this and that. Fast forward, the girl that I'm with says, "Do you want to fuck me or what?"
Whoa.
And
Jesus Christ, yeah. Man. This is life out there.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. It's just, you know, it's single. And, like, honestly, I don't even talk about this with some of my close friends. I just wanted to, like, give you a heads up that this is between me and you and the Rappa Pack and just the podcast family. I just wanted to just share it with you guys. It's been a good week for me. I wanted to also apologize if I seemed a little bit down or a little moody on the last episode. I'm just feeling good, and I got a little, you know, hopped in my step. And anyway, I owe you. And so anyway, let's get back on track with the Truey segment. And yeah.
All right. Well, that was good stuff. That was good. I thought
my reaction to the "Do you want to fuck me or not?" Well, I literally said.
You said that a few times. I don't think you need to say it again. Like
no. I didn't say my reaction part though.
What was your reaction?
And my reaction was, I said, "Hell yeah!" And then I grabbed her hand and we left the bar and I got an Uber.
Woo! Shooter's gonna shoot. Shooter's gonna shoot. All right. Listen. Hey. Listen, it's the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. I'm actually ending this entire episode, Dean, with you. That's the Truey segment of the week with the young shooter, Dean Collins.
Thank you, man. I'm happy to have been on, and it's always a good time with you, to the Gringo Mandingo. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I appreciate that. I would also appreciate that. I feel like the podcast success and the groupies are going to you and Monetti's head, because every time you guys set a time, no one's there except for me. And I keep the calls attempted in the podcast. You'll be hearing the calls attempted when you don't answer the phone. But
yeah, I mean, you just, you know, I'd say I was watching the night of. It was a really good episode. This one, there's only one more left. And I'd love to, you know, stop by the podcast and talk to you about the whole series and kind of my feelings about it and your feelings about it.
Let's do it later in the week. Let's do it
sure,
later
bro.
In the week.
And what are you doing for dinner? I was wondering if you wanted to go to Sushi Enya. And also there's this,
what
like
the fuck are you talking
I got
about?
Directions huh? Downtown.
What?
I got like this new app that gives great directions. I was thinking we go down to Sushi Enya. It's my, like, maybe all they have this great spicy tuna crispy rice.
Yo, my man. Check this out. We ain't going to dinner, my man. The fuck are you talking what? About? Huh?
No, I was just wondering if you were free for dinner. Like, I just thought this new sushi spot down
there in... There ain't no fucking sushi
downtown,
spot,
like,
man. You said you got a whole party going over there, man.
No.
I'm going to sleep, man.
I'm
done.
If you want to go out, it's in Little Tokyo.
Man, fuck all that shit, man. Yo, I'm wrapping up this episode.
Man.
Huh?
All right, man. Well, I'll catch you later then, and... we'll just, hit me up tomorrow. Maybe we'll get breakfast or something.
Hold on. I got to wrap up the episode. This has been the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. I want to thank my guest, Brendan Schaub from The Fighter and the Kid. Of course, the 2015 podcast co-host of the year, G. Monetti, and the young shooter, Dean Collins. We'll be back with more heat, more fire. We'll be discussing the night of the HBO series with the consummate actor, John Turturro, on the next episode. And we're out. You got any parting words, Shooter?
Peace and love. It was fun.
All right, thanks, Shooter. And we'll be
thanks
back
you,
with another episode. Miles, take us out with some funk right now. We done.
Woo!